1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 10. My text verse is verse 9, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. If you keep your Bible open there to 1 John chapter 4, I want you to listen to a few verses that you're going to hear me refer to. Just listen closely. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20 says, "When they shall say unto you, seek, unto them that have familiar spirits," that's demons, "and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Nobody should be going to the dead to talk to their God unless they're serving a dead God, right? And in Isaiah 8:20, God says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." That's Isaiah 8:20, very important verse. Then John chapter 1, verse 3, don't turn there, you're in 1 John. Stay there, because I'm going to refer to that in just a second. "But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So God became flesh. That's a message of the Bible, right? Beautiful truth. Then, I tell you what, if you can keep your finger there, can you go to John chapter 5? And let me show you something here. We'll come right back to 1 John chapter 4. Now, we're going to stay in 1 John 4 this morning, but I'm going to refer back to some of those verses that I just read, Isaiah chapter 8 and John chapter 1. I want you to see this in John 5, and hopefully when you go home and read it, you can think about it here. But watch this. John chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Notice verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath," watch, "but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God." Okay, there's something about what He said, because the moment He said, my Father, Jesus said, when Jesus said, "God is my Father," it angered them to the point, "We'll kill you." We would think He's saying, "Oh, so you're saying that God's your Father, and you're the Son, and it's just like this." And that's not what the Bible teaches. They said, "You just made yourself equal with God, and we'll kill you for that." Does everybody see that? We wouldn't pick up that if somebody said, "God's my Father." Now, Jesus could say that and mean that and meant what He said, because He was the only begotten Son of God. We are sons of God, but we're not the only begotten Son of God. Okay? So John chapter 5 is neat. They tried to kill Jesus three times in the book of John. Three times they tried to stone Him before they crucified Him, and each time, that's the first time, each time it's because He declared that He was God in the flesh. Okay, that's the first time. Now, can you take your Bible and go back to 1 John chapter 4, and let's stay here. 1 John chapter 4, and then we'll look at some verses here in just a minute. "You were made in the image of God so you could walk with God." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, just like the Trinity, you have three parts also. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. Mankind is by creation very spiritual. Every person is very spiritual because of how God made them. It's popular today to be spiritual, to be a spiritual person, or have the title of being spiritual. And spiritual is socially acceptable. But it's not socially acceptable to be a devout Christian. But it is acceptable to be spiritual. God's Word teaches us that being spiritual is not enough. Think about what I'm saying. Being spiritual is not enough. The Bible tells us that one can be spiritual, and that spirit may actually be anti or against or opposed to Jesus Christ. One may be spiritual, okay, and that spirit may in fact be satanic, or one that imparts death when one unites or partakes of that spirit and follows it. You say, are you sure? God tells us in several places how to know which spirit is correct and proper, and what's a proper spirit, and what spiritual people are correct and properly spiritual. In 1 John chapter 4, it says here, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So there were demonic spirits 2,000 years ago when God gave us this, 1 John, and he was telling the church, he was saying, be careful, there's demons out there that portray themselves as good spirits, but they're demonic, they're devilish. Every spirit isn't good. And there's a test, and God tells us to try them. If somebody is truly spiritual, they will speak in accordance to the Bible. They don't just quote Bible verses. And see, here's where some of you get duped. You'll listen to anybody on the internet or on TV or radio that quotes Scripture. Can I remind you of something? Satan can quote Scripture. But they quote the Bible. Satan quoted the Bible to Jesus. Satan's got the whole book memorized. He's had 6,000 years to do it. He knows more Bible than all of us put together. So what does that have to do with the tea in China? In other words, that's not the only thing you're supposed to be drawn to. But they quoted the Bible. Careful. Careful. You see, there's one truth in particular that every person has to be in exact agreement with, according to the Bible. That the creator of the heavens and the earth, God himself, came into this world as a man, lived in the person of Jesus Christ, and died to pay for our sins. There are many spiritual people who do not believe that. If I could name some, Oprah Winfrey, ask her what she believes about Jesus Christ. She'll tell you, oh, I'm a Christian. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's God? The answer is no. But she believes in Jesus Christ. You see what I mean? There's many people that are spiritual, but they don't believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. There are many spiritual worshiping people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty who came to die for our sins. There are many people who promote spirituality who do not believe that. There are people following a spirit who has lied to them, who will disagree with me, okay? And call me hateful, overly critical, unloving, yet they have been misled by Antichrist. Mormons are spiritual people, okay? They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the creator and God manifest in the flesh. I know, I've talked with them. Ask them sometime. Therefore, God says, there's no light in them, right? If they speak not according to this law, it is because there's no light in them. That's not my opinion this morning. That's what the Bible says. God tells us in the chapter that we're in to try the spirits whether they are of God. If the spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to die for our sins, then please remember it's Antichrist and not to be followed. Some Jehovah's Witnesses, not all, but some of them are very spiritual people. I used to see them on my bus route all the time, every Saturday. I've talked to, I don't want to say hundreds of Jehovah's Witnesses, but possibly hundreds. They're spiritual people. But they believe Jesus was a sinful creation like you and I. That spirit of Jehovah's Witness is Antichrist. It's spiritual, but it's Antichrist. This morning, men and women will stand, some in robes, some in suits and ties, some in t-shirts and chains around their necks, and some will say nice things about Jesus today in a church service all across America. They will talk about the love of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus and following in the footsteps of Jesus. And if you ask them, this Jesus of whom you speak, is he God the Creator? Many of them will tell you, oh no, we don't believe that. Which tells me, no matter how much they talk about Jesus, that is an anti-Christian church. Okay, did we read 1 John chapter 4? God tells us everything that claims to be spirit. See, we don't like that type of teaching. What we're accustomed to in America is everything that calls itself Christian is good. Christian bank robbers, Christian whores, Christian, I mean, it just goes right. Oh, if you put Christian in front of it, then it automatically makes it right. And that's garbage. There's supposed to be more of a test than that. Is the word Christian in it? Is the, oh, all churches are good. No, all churches aren't good. All churches do not teach correctly. Oh, he calls himself a minister. All ministers aren't good. And see, if you're Catholic, you're taught not to question the priest. And if you're not Catholic, can I just say something this morning? It's okay to hold the preacher to the Bible. Amen? I should be held to the same standard you are. Amen? In other words, you may question me, amen, if I'm doing something that's not scriptural. But most people say, well, the preacher said it, so we follow it. Okay, if you keep that attitude up, you'll develop a cult. Amen. You don't want that. You want everybody in the church holding to one standard, and that's that book you have in your hand, if it's a King James Bible. And it's okay to question the pastor. Do it in the right spirit. I mean, you know, I'd appreciate it if after every service you don't, you know, preacher, where... I appreciate sincere questions, okay? But it's okay. If you're Catholic, you're taught, don't ever question the priest. No, you're supposed to. God tells you in 1 John, try the spirits. Make sure that what you're being told is of God. We're told that. You see, we live in a day when it's popular to be spiritual, but God is more interested in us being right than spiritual. It's popular to follow feelings and emotions and teachings of spiritual people and their music that touches our spirits. But God gave us His book so we can try those spirits to make sure that they're of God and that they're not leading us away from God. I think it's a tragedy that millions of people will go to church this morning and be misled instead of led. They'll leave following an emotion or a feeling, or something that they thought was spiritual experience, and it really was spiritual. But it was not holy or in accord with God's Word. No, it was a real experience. It was a real experience, but it was not of God. It was not of God. That's why when somebody tells me I had a near-death experience, I believe in near-death experiences. I think it's very real. But when they say, I was on the operating table and I died, and I floated out of my body and I saw a light. I've heard people say that. I say, I have no doubt that what you experienced was very real. I saw God. No, you didn't. Satan is his ministers are ministers of light and can transform them. You saw a light? Yes, I saw a light at the end of the tunnel. And I heard a voice saying, I said, you were lied to. And I believe what you saw and what you felt and what you remember is very real. I don't think you were on drugs or anything, but you were lied to. Amen? No, I believe their experience is very real, but it's not of God. It's not of God. If you had a true, genuine medical condition this morning, and you went to see a healer or a practitioner or a shaman or wherever you went, and that person that you went to see because of your physical sickness or pain that you were experiencing performed his practice on you. And whether it was with a crystal or a magnet or an ancient imported stick or some lights, and you were given an emotional experience in that office and a feeling, but you were still just as afflicted with your medical condition when you leave as you were when you got there, you would call that malpractice and deception. Y'all understand what I just said? In other words, if you were sick but given an experience, and you went to somebody who said they could heal you, and you were given an emotional feeling, but you still left there just as sick, you'd say, you're a phony. You're a phony. There's a lot of people, okay, if you left that office and you grew worse and you died, your family would file suit against those that misled you and conned you with their deception. That's pretty common today, right? Listen closely now. Now let me apply this. There's a lot of people who should be lining up to sue priests and rabbis and ministers and prophets and evangelists because they're not telling the people the truth. They're sending them home with a feeling or an emotional experience that they mistake for salvation or righteousness. That's malpractice. That's deception. Thousands of people will leave church services this morning being touched by the music, or being touched by the prayer that was prayed, or being touched by the priest. Okay, never mind. This fall, okay, I just want to make sure you're listening. This fall, okay, on November 4th, we will observe Benny Hinn Sunday, because we'll all fall back. You got to put it out there every once in a while. And it's, by the way, it's free. You didn't pay much, okay? There will be many people who are spiritually uplifted in a religious service, and when you meet them tomorrow at work or ask them if they know they're going to heaven when they die, they either don't have a clue or they're offended by your asking. That's deception. But they went to a church service, they went to a spiritual service, and they had a real emotional experience. But they still don't know if they're going to heaven or not. They still don't know if their sins are forgiven. That's sad. That's sad. It's sad to see people deceived by that, by the swooning and the falling back and all of that. If you ever watch any of those and don't, I was one time talking about a Pentecostal service to the teenagers, and I was youth director. And we had a Pentecostal church that was like three blocks from our church. And if you've never been to a Pentecostal service, don't. Well, they were having this revival meeting at this Pentecostal church in 2 weeks. And so I was like, now I have a Pentecostal background, okay? My great-great-uncle was the front man for Jimmy Swaggart back in the 70s, okay? You say, who's that? If you don't know who it is, praise God you don't know who it is, okay? But I was telling the teenagers and, you know, the tongues and the people speaking in tongues and the rolling around and knocking on the floor and all that other stuff and the commotion. Well, if you've never been in one of those services, what, three of our teenagers, they went to the service. I didn't know they were going. I didn't tell them go. I was just telling them what I experienced as a kid. They came back to church on Wednesday night and some of them, out of the three, two of them were crying. It was horrible. It was scary. And it is scary. You see some of those videos of that Brownsville so-called revival. They're calling it spiritual, but people are barking like dogs for hours. Roof, 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 roof. Hours? That's demon possession. Nobody in the Bible did that when they were filled with the Spirit. Shows the evangelist going by and doing this with people, and they slither out of their seat, and then they're slithering on the floor like snakes, and they're going for hours. No, that's spooky. You understand? That makes my skin crawl. All right, but they're having a spiritual experience, and I have no doubt that it's very real. It's a real demon. There's nothing biblical about it. Do you understand? You understand? No, it's sad to see people deceived by that. It is only those things, when they do the falling back and all that, they're all within the seducing experience of the charlatan. They're all within eyeshot. Nobody in the balcony ever falls back if you ever watch that garbage. Benny Hinn paid college students $50 per student if they would come and be healed at his crusades. $50 a student. I have no doubt that some of them had a real experience when they went, but none of it was of God. There are a few people here who in their past have had spiritual experiences prompted by alcohol or some psychotropic drug, meth, LSD, all of that. That's what voodoo, voodoo and shaman and witch doctors all use opioids to get in contact with demons. I'm sure there's some people in your past, before you got saved, you had spiritual experiences, but they weren't of God, and they were very real. That's why them people that are coming in hallucinating into the emergency room. Ah, there's snakes coming out of the walls. There's, you know, and all the stuff that they're seeing. There's roaches all over me. I think what they're seeing is real. They're seeing demons. It's a very real experience. It's very real. The many tribes of American Indians, okay? Well, let me just tell you this. It's amazing how people test and try food and vehicles and contracts to see if they're legitimate, but when it comes to their soul, they carelessly latch on to anything that gives them a feeling or an experience, and they never find out if it's true or real. The American Indians were very spiritual as they walked on burning coals and smoked peyote and sat in a sweat lodge. But it wasn't right, godly, or according to truth. I'm so glad that this morning God's given us His perfect and pure words to read and learn about Him. You don't have to inject. Aren't you glad? Anybody think about this? You don't have to inject anything or smoke anything or go sit anywhere in a dark place in a loincloth until you have an experience. Bless God, you can go home and read His Word. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? No, I couldn't imagine saying this to somebody. You know, I'm glad you came to our church the first time. We've got some special drugs for you. We'd like you to take these. And if you'll go home and read your Bible, and now don't take too much of these, but take about half of this, and this will help you see God. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? That's what the cults do, right? That's what the cults do. God says, I don't give you drugs. I don't alter your mind. God says, I give you my word. You can know God through His word. Go home and read your Bible. Amen. People like that, people don't want truth though. They want a spiritual feeling. They want an emotion. They don't want to be right. They want to have an experience. Listen closely. Psalm 17, verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Psalm 138, verse 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God's word. How about John 17, 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, let's look back at 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Okay, listen closely. People go into political rallies, okay, have an emotional experience because they get to hear the one they believe in. I think it'd be neat to shake President Trump's hand. I think that'd be, I've never shaken a president's hand. If I was going to shake a president's hand, his would be the one I want to shake. I'm sure that there'd be a rush to that. I wouldn't walk away and go, I'll never wash that hand again. You know, I wouldn't do that. But I'm sure there'd be an experience involved, right? When you hear the one at the political rally, when you hear the one you believe in, it gives you an experience, right? But you're not saved. But you're not saved. Okay, look at 1 John chapter. Let's just go back and read verse 1 together. Ready? Here we go. Look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many, not a few, many false prophets are gone out into the world. So I told you before, it's been 2,000 years. Just because this morning I named a few of them, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, it doesn't make me a bad person, okay? Because I name false prophets. There's many false teachers out there. It would take us weeks to name them all. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So we know that there was a man named Jesus. We know that he lived in a body of flesh. But the Bible says that the person who was born in Bethlehem's manger predates that birth. He existed before he was born. He was God. God says that the only one who walked the shores of Galilee was the one who made the sea and the shores and the universe. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and walked among us. And God says, if you don't believe that, you don't have God. You're in 1 John chapter 4. Can you look at chapter 2 real quick? We're in 1 John. Just stay in that book. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse number 22. We'll come right back to 1 John chapter 4. But look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And watch this. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I mean, just real simple what that means. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, then you don't have God. That's what it says, right? Pretty simple. That's how you can tell a good, that's truth. That's how you tell a good religion from a bad one. That's how you tell a good church from a bad church. That's one of the tests, not the only way. Now go back to 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 3. And every spirit, I'm in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit, here we go again, of Antichrist. You'll read that word Antichrist all through the book of 1 John. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. This is 2,000 years ago. So, listen closely. So you can believe that Jesus worked miracles. You can believe that Jesus helped people. Listen, you can believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins and rose again the third day. But if you don't believe he's God in the flesh, you will die and go to hell. Some of you that go soul winning, you've heard me say this, but I met a lady in her 70s right out here near Sandgates, and it was a little distant from that. We knocked on her door, and she told me she was a Methodist. I said, "Oh, wow, that's great." And I said, "Ma'am, do you know how to get your sins forgiven? Do you know where you're going to go when you die?" She said, "Oh, I believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for my sins and rose again the third day." And then I remember I looked at her and said, "Aren't you glad God Almighty died for you?" And she looked right back at me and she said, "Oh, no, Jesus isn't God." I just knew she was going to say, "Yep, sure glad the Creator shed his blood for me." She goes, "Oh, no, Jesus isn't God. There's other gods other than Jesus." And I went, I'd never heard that before. So let me get, did you hear what I just said? You can believe Jesus died for your sins and rose again the third day, but if you don't believe he's God, you're not saved. Amen? Because there's people that believe that, but they don't believe he's God. And they're going, unless they repent, they're going to die and go to hell. They need to change their mind about what they believe. Amen? Watch this. Listen closely. Alcohol is sinful. And it's promoted by the world. Drug trafficking is sinful and it's promoted by the world. Sexual immorality is sinful and it's promoted by the world. But what the devil is involved, and that's why somebody said, "Oh, this is of the devil." All sin is not of the devil. Some things are worldly, like what I just mentioned to you about. Alcohol, drug trafficking, sexual, that's of the world. They promote that. That's fleshly. What the devil is involved in is deception. Making Satan's specialty is he makes something look like Jesus Christ that is not Jesus Christ. He's a deceiver. He makes something look like it's on the way to heaven, but it's not the way to heaven. He makes something look like it's a relationship to God, but it's not a relationship to God. I'm so sad to hear that there are churches now that are having praying mazes. They'll take a big room like what we got in there. They'll take a room like this and they'll remove the pews. And then they make this maze on the floor. They paint it on the floor. And then you're supposed to go through and you're supposed to pray through this maze. That's Hinduism. It's spiritual. And they got candles all over the room and they're going, come pray at our church and do the prayer maze. Woo! The room's dark and that's getting supposed to be a Christian activity. It's garbage. It's cultism. It's spiritual, but it's not of God. And everybody's going, "Oh, it was just so beautiful to pray through the maze." And they're saying, if you want that's Satan's specialty. If you want a relationship with God, do this. And there's no relationship with God. It's sad, the deception that's there. If Satan can get you to rehab and off of dope and off of booze, and let your family get back together and give you a great life without you ever trusting Jesus as your Savior, guess what? He won. If we built a habitat for all humanity and everybody on the earth lived in nice houses instead of tents in the woods for their whole lives, but they never came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, what a waste. What a waste! We helped them physically, but they died and went to hell because they never trusted Jesus. That's sad. You see, can I just remind you, I'm for a better life, okay? I'm for a better life with your family. Your family is better, okay? Your family is better than in a home than on the street, but a better life is not salvation and a relationship with God. You need to understand that the spirit of Antichrist is not about you doing bad things. The spirit of Antichrist is about you doing anything to keep you from Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, so that at the end of your days, you wake up in hell instead of heaven. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Everybody, when Satan steps in during the tribulation, when we're gone in the rapture, when Satan takes over the world, guess how he's going to do it? He's going to do it by stopping the wars and bringing in peace. Satan is going to take over the world when we're gone in the rapture. He's going to do it by providing food to a starving populace of millions of people. Who would ever suspect that that guy that's stopping wars and feeding people is the most evil person history has ever known? Who would ever guess? Look at all the good he's doing. And they will follow him. But he's Satan. The Bible plainly tells us how he's going to work. But we have this, we're wired differently here in the West. Okay, Satan is so subtle. Listen, okay, I've heard people defend the Masonic Lodge. Look at all the good they do in the children's hospitals they support. Everybody, if you don't know anything about the Masons, they take bloody vows and they worship Satan, but they do it in the upper levels. It's satanic worship. Masonic Lodge. Okay, it's very subtle. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Ready? Here we go. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So how do you overcome all of the false teaching and the religious deception that's out there? First of all, it helps. Amen. First step is getting saved. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit comes inside you to live. Then you have the Spirit of truth that leads you as you read God's Word. That's why a Christian that doesn't read their Bible is open to deception. How can you go all week without reading your Bible? With all the lies and the filth that's out there, all the garbage that's being pushed, we're the ones that are right. No, we're the ones that are right. Christian, get in your Bible. Amen. This is truth. You've got to have this. You're in 1 John. We're going to come right back here to chapter 4. Go to 1 John chapter 2 again. Ready? So the Holy Spirit leads you in God's Word. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Watch. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. What God's telling you is this. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came inside you. That's the anointing. And if you'll read your Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks through his word. He doesn't speak through your feelings and your emotions. Read your Bible. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? You have no need that any man teach you. You say, well, man, boy, that message pastor preached. I may tell you some truth from the Bible that may be from an angle you haven't heard before, but God can speak to your heart like he speaks to my heart. Amen? Amen. That's good. That's good. Read your Bible. Go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 5. 1 John 4, verse 5. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. So the people who go to the who are popular in the world know how to say what the world wants to hear. Okay? Look at verse number 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the world comes in and they say, you can't be right. Look at all the people that disagree with you. Everybody think with me just for a second. When has that ever been the measure of what's right? Exodus 23 says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. In the Garden of Eden, it was two people that said, eat the fruit. One person, God, said, thou shalt not. Was the majority right or were they wrong? They were wrong. When Noah and his family, eight people, were saying, get on the ark, get on the ark, the whole population of the earth was saying, that's stupid, we're not getting on an ark, it's never rained yet. Who was wrong, the multitude or the small crowd? The multitude. Look at how many people don't believe the Bible. What does that have to do with anything? The multitude is never determined right. God's word has always determined right, regardless of who believes it or not. Regardless of who believes it. John and Mary, I'll give you one more illustration. John and Mary followed Jesus to the crucifixion while the whole nation of Israel said, crucify him, give us Barabbas. God says we're not supposed to vote to see if we believe God's word. If you believe God's word and your whole workplace says tomorrow it's a fairy tale, tell them this. Well, we'll find out in eternity, but I promise you God's word's right. I promise you God's word's right. Hollywood and CNN teach you if you want to be popular, all you got to do is tell lies. The world is so accustomed to lies that when you tell them the truth, they start recognizing it as hate. Well, you're not very conforming to society. No, I'm not. Look at verse 7, 1 John 4, verse 7. Ready? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beautiful verse. Verse 9, and this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God didn't just tell you he loved you. God proved he loved you. It grieves me how anyone can follow someone and trust their eternity to a person who didn't die for them. JWs, Joseph Smith, didn't die for them. The Buddhist, Buddha, didn't die for you. Talk to a Muslim. Muhammad did not die for you, and neither did Allah. Nobody. How can you follow somebody that didn't die for you? Amen? Think of that. Verse number 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means appeasement, atonement, made favorable. When you try the spirits by God's word, you learn the most amazing love story of all time. God died for your sins so you could be with him and live for him. If all men loved God, think with me, if all men loved God, and I wish everybody did, but everybody doesn't. But if all creation loved God, that's not spectacular. God made them. Why shouldn't they love God? You're God's creation. Why shouldn't you love God with all your heart? Pick the greatest missionary that gave up every comfort in America and did the suffering, maybe even died on the field. Take their love. When you ask that missionary, what's your love for God compared to God's love for you? They'll tell you, nothing. I don't love God like he loves me. But if we did love God, that's why it says, herein is love, not that we loved God, because we don't love him like we should. Amen? But it's not unreasonable. And if anybody doesn't love God, they're a wicked person. God created you and holds his breath in your hand. And when he closes it, you stop breathing. That's what the Bible says. He holds your breath in his hand. How could you not love the God that created you and knows everything about you? Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Jesus Christ did not come into this world to love you. He showed you his love by coming into this world to die for your sins, but he didn't come into this world so that you could feel his love. He came into this world so that your sins could be paid for. Could you imagine what was happening? If 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and stood on Calvary and instead of dying on a cross, just stood there. And because he's God, he's been there now. Let's just say this happened. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been standing on a hill. And if you ever get the money, you can take a plane over there to Jerusalem and walk up that hill, stand in line maybe 3 or 4 days and shake Jesus's hand and maybe hug him and hear him say the words, I love you. That'd be quite an experience, wouldn't it? But if he never died for our sins, no matter how much he said, I love you, you'd still die and go to hell. I'm glad Jesus came to die for my sins and he proved his love. Jesus didn't come so that I could feel loved. Amen? Today, I feel very loved by Jesus Christ. But more importantly, I'm saved. I've been forgiven. Most of the time when I go to church, I'm glad. I like being in my church. Sometimes I don't feel good or bad. And every once in a while, I can't stand it. Don't look at me that way. I always love being here. You mean you don't ever come to church out of duty? So I've been sick before, preaching, and had a fever and everything else, and I wanted to go home. Now, praise God, that's not all the time, but I'm just telling you, I'm so glad my Christianity has nothing to do with my feelings. We live in an emotional, crazed society. I'm so glad my salvation this morning has nothing to do with my feelings. God Almighty created this world, and then this Word, the Bible, became flesh and lived a perfect, sinless life, died on a cross for your sins, and rose again from the dead the third day. If you place your faith in Him and the blood that He shed for you on the cross, your sins can be forgiven. And if you don't, I don't care how you feel or what you've experienced, you're lost. You're lost. 1 John chapter 5, are you there? Let's look at one more verse. 1 John chapter 5, just turn over one chapter. Ready? You ought to see this in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What a verse. That just tells you just exactly simply, just like it is, all the churches and all the religions and the internet and the radio and all the talk about what they perceive as Christianity. And yet no one's talking about the most important thing, that Jesus Christ is God. Because that's what it takes to be saved. There's a lot of religion, there's a lot of spirits out there, but so much of it is the spirit of Antichrist, and it's aligned with the devil's deception. The name of the sermon this morning is called, Jesus Christ Died for You, verse number 9 and 10. I tried to explain the importance of the truth of the book that you have in your hand. Don't go by your emotions. Don't go by your feelings. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. Please, help us.